scripture for this evening will be 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch, stand fast in faith, act like men, be brave, be strong.
Dear, thanks for that reading, Jay, for the song. Going for the well word of prayer. Good evening, everyone. Good to see everyone. Starting in the Word of God, get your Bibles out. Greg has read the scripture reading, and hopefully that gave it away some. We're going to be talking about men. I got another lesson on men tonight. Well, since we had Mother's Day lesson this morning, we'll talk about men. Acts chapter 5. If you get your Bibles out, I need you to follow along. Lots of Bible this evening we're going to be looking at, so let's get into the Word of God. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. A man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price himself. And with his wife's full knowledge, bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep some of the price of the land? Oh, it remained unsold. Did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. As he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And a great fear came all over those that heard this. Well, I don't think anyone here would be surprised if I tell you that I just seen a survey this week, and I want to reveal this. I don't think any of us would be shocked to know that in our country, in our society, there is a lack of integrity. And this survey, when they asked folks, what would you do for $10 million? What would you do for $10 million? 25% of Americans said that they would be willing to abandon their families. 1 out of 4 said for $10 million they'll leave their family. 23% said they would be willing for $10 million to become a prostitute for a week. 7% of Americans said that for $10 million they would kill a stranger. Think about that, probably size 7 of you. So, if you're here and you're willing to kill somebody you don't know very well for $10 million, you get to know you better, maybe. Don't be a stranger, let's get to know each other. Think about that, though. Think about those numbers. All around us, we see all kinds of examples of lack of integrity. Every day you turn on TV, there's a congressman or a politician that's been caught in some scandal. The athletes that used to be role models, they don't want to be role models anymore. They're done with that. They just want to live however they want to live. I read somewhere that this pastor the other day, he got caught lying about being a Navy SEAL, and you know, they blew all that up. I'm not a Navy SEAL. Did take the test, passed, was going to go. Had more sense than that. Anyway, thank you, Jesse, for laughing about that. The test was tough, I'll tell you that. I just didn't step on that plane. I changed my mind. Anyway, at the same time as we think about that, in the passage that we read in Acts 5 announces that God absolutely cares about integrity. God cares about integrity, and maybe we chafe a little bit when we read that and we think, you know what? I mean, really? I mean, you just got a little small infraction here, just a little lie, and the guy's dead. And so I look at that, and I think if we think about God and how he treats integrity, what he thinks about it, it's not such a small infraction. God clearly, just by this example, says, you know what? God, he doesn't treat a lack of integrity as a minor deal. So God wanted everyone for all time to know then and know now. And by this example, that truth makes a difference. And the Lord certainly didn't want in his church a bunch of liars, a bunch of hypocrites, a bunch of deceivers, because if that's what a church is full of, he knew the church wasn't going to go anywhere, do anything, so right off the bat, we're going to take care of this. So for all time, Acts 5 draws the line of sand between those that are after the father of lies, the devil, or those that are us that are going to follow Jesus Christ, who is the truth and the life. So, Acts 5 tells us that really integrity is the center of this kingdom. It's the center of the church. And for us men, I believe that it really is the center of who we are. And that word speaks to who we are. We've been talking, I don't know, this is I think the third lesson on men that we've come up with, But this evening, I'm not going to talk about five ways to be a better husband, three ways maybe to be a better dad, although I might one evening. But those are all important concepts. But really, this evening, what we're going to talk about is something I think that is at the very core of every man. It's at the very center of every man that walks, and again, the genuine man of God. That's what I'm concerned about. And that is, I want to talk about integrity. While I know there are applications for integrity for women and wives, we talked a little bit about that this morning. I know there's applications for kiddos, how you ought to walk integrity if you're a child. But I want us to concentrate 100% about men. And it's all about us this evening. And I think that to be God's man, to understand what it means to man up, and to be a man of integrity, I think we need to look at that. And it really is all about integrity. How I can build my life. How I can build my life and be a man of integrity, be a man that's ironclad, absolutely bulletproof, I'm a man of integrity. Now, if you're that man, you don't have to worry about messing up your marriage. You don't have to do that. You don't have to worry about being unfaithful to your wife. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about being lazy or dishonest. You don't have to worry about getting fired from your job. You won't have to worry about the kids saying, yeah, I know about the Christianity thing. My dad went to church on Sunday, but y'all seen how he acts on Monday. It's a big fraud. You won't have to worry about that if you are a man of integrity. And as we do that, I think if we talk about that, I think it's important that we understand what integrity means. Now, a lot of folks think, and just off the bat, I thought that integrity really was a direct, just an absolute synonym of truth. But the more I looked at it, the more it's not a virtual synonym for honesty and truth. There's no doubt, as I look at the two words, they do parallel. They do have a relationship. But being honest and being truthful is not, it doesn't complete what integrity is. I want you to look with me in 1 Kings. See how the Bible terms that. 1 Kings chapter 9. Lord talks to Solomon. Notice what he says, verse 4. He says, as for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity, of heart, and uprightness, doing according to all that I have commanded you, and keep my statutes and my ordinances, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, just as I promised to your father David, saying, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. You see verse 4? Look what integrity is of the heart. And that's a whole lot more than just honesty, alright? Here's the terms. And I'll just go ahead and quote these guys. Soundness of character. Listen to these terms. Soundness of character especially means to adhere to moral principles. One writer said this, it is the state of being whole or complete. Integrity is undivided. One writer says sincerity, all right? Also in integrity is the word consistency. So you look at it, soundness of character, completion, undivided, consistent, without deception, wholeness. Now, as you listen to those, I want you to understand that in integrity, it's not something that you just do. Integrity is something that you are. There's a difference in that. Did that go in? Did you see that? That's why the Bible talks about all the time. Walking in integrity. Walking upright in integrity. That's the concept of integrity. And it's about personal honor. And really and truly, that's something our society has totally lost. Personal honor and integrity. The moral code that they live by. When is that? Well, when nobody's looking and when somebody's looking. And you just don't know what you're going to get. You don't know which cat's going to come out of the bag the next day with that guy. Our society has lost the meaning of what it means to have integrity. And so as I look at the definition, I think integrity is the determination, I think, by all of us to be consistently and live by our moral code. The code of morality that's in the standard of God. Look at Job chapter 2. Remember all the trouble that Job had. And how he was afflicted, all kinds of trouble. Things happened to him, the devil and God are talking here. Job chapter 2, this is the Lord talking to Satan. Look what he says in verse 3. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil, and he still holds fast his integrity. although you incited me against him to ruin him, he says without fault. Look, no matter what you throw at him, no matter what happens to Job, I'm going to tell you, God says, he's not going to give up what he believes. He's not going to change how he lives. He's not going to change how he thinks. He's still going to hold fast, he says, to his integrity. Maybe. I think the best way maybe to understand what integrity is, and maybe understand what it is not. And you look at it, the opposite of integrity is not lie. The opposite of integrity is not deceit. What's the opposite of telling the truth? Well, it'd be a lie. It'd be deceit. The opposite of integrity is hypocrisy. The opposite of integrity is a sham. The opposite of integrity is living life one way in some venue around some people, and differently around another place or around other people. That's what integrity is. That's the opposite of integrity, really. So, when I'm not complete, as one writer said, when I'm not whole, when I'm divided, when I'm not consistently living by my moral code, then I have no integrity. That's what that means. God defines the mark of integrity in Psalm 15. This is it. He talks about, this morning he talked about those things in Proverbs 31 for the ladies. This is it, man. I want you to listen to this. Psalms chapter 1, or chapter 15, verse 1. He says, O Lord, who may abide in your tent, who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks with integrity, and he who walks or works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does he evil to his neighbor, nor takes up reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money at him, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. Now look at what's spotlighted here. In this verse, he walks blameless. He's interested in righteousness, for righteousness' sake. And he means it when he says that, it's in a daily way. It's every day. He speaks the truth first and foremost to who? To himself. Listen, if you don't walk in integrity, folks, men, you got to be honest with yourself. You got to be brutally honest with yourself. If you're going to walk in integrity in a public way, speak the truth to yourself. Be honest to yourself, all right? I can tell myself the truth. And it goes on with watching his mouth. There's no corrupt communication from a man who has integrity everywhere he goes, all right? What else? Despises the wicked, loves righteousness, keeps his word no matter what they used to say, I don't need a contract, I'm going to shake your hand. That's how those days were in gone by with men that had integrity. Those days are gone. But that's the man in Psalm 15. Can't be corrupted by money. Don't waste your time trying to buy him off. Don't waste your time trying to sell him off. He's not going to take it. Everything. And I look at that, and I believe that all of us as men, I think this kind of integrity can be woven into our DNA. I think we can be that man. Because I tell you, your integrity affects every relationship that you have, every relationship, everything we do, everywhere we are. But the man in Psalm 15, there's a man with integrity. Now, look at that. That's not easy to do. That's not easy to do. And as I begin to survey, you know, a lot of people aren't that way. A lot of folks cut corners today. A lot of people just live however they want to. And fine. Why should I worry about that? Why should I, as a man, since the world doesn't care about integrity, and it's no big deal, you know, why should I care about that? Well, the last lesson we had, we talked about leadership. And I want you to think about how these two things, how they go together. Because God calls us, remember, He calls us to be a leader, men. He calls us to be a leader in our family, men, and in the church, men, and in our life. God calls the man to be a leader. And I look at it, the truth of the matter is, I think integrity is the fuel for leadership. Did you know that? You must have integrity before you can be a leader. Think about that. Well, you're men, you want to follow me? Follow me. What can I trust you? Do you care about me? Are you consistent with how you react to things? Do you show integrity? Because a fellowship, a leadership relationship can never happen unless integrity is there. You're not going to get any followers if you're not a man of integrity. Family, church, anyway. Not going to happen. So you see how integrity actually fuels leadership. John chapter 10. Verse 11, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm going to lay down my life for my sheep. What a leader. What a shepherd the Lord was and is. Why is that? We follow Jesus without question. We know that Jesus is going to take care of us. We know the kind of leader that Jesus is. The kind of leader is going to lay down his life. And you look at verse 5, he says they will flee from them that they don't know. There's the voice of strangers. Nobody here is going to follow somebody that doesn't show integrity, doesn't show leadership. And again, I think it's all this. We follow Jesus because we trust him. Now, I just don't trust strangers, do we? Not going to follow them. And hey, that guy, I thought he was, he's not that guy. You've lost the follower. Alright? If you lose your integrity. Alright? So remember that as men as our roles as leaders. When trust goes out the window, I'm telling you, your leadership in whatever circle you're talking about, that goes out the window too. What happens when we have high integrity? Look at Daniel chapter 6. Now, Daniel chapter 6, here's a guy with high integrity. I mean, he had it. And what happened, they wanted to get some dirt on Daniel. Everybody's jealous of Daniel. I mean, they were jealous of him. Everybody was jealous. Daniel chapter 6. They decided that they're going to get some dirt on him and put him down. Now, look at verse 4. The president, the satrap, sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But they could not find a ground of complaint or any fault because he was faithful. No error was found in him. They looked everywhere. They looked at his accounts payable. They looked at his personal emails. They searched his internet browser. They looked at the history thing. They did all that to Daniel. They checked his text messages. They asked women that if he put the moves on. They did everything to find some dirt on Daniel because they were sure that this public Daniel that everybody seen. Oh, that wasn't the private Daniel that nobody knew. And we're going to expose the private Daniel. That's what the motive was back there. No. No. Nothing existed. They couldn't find anything. What they found was consistency. They found wholeness. They found integrity with Daniel. Well, I'll tell you what, when you have that, you can affect everybody. You can affect everybody in your life and every relationship that you have, men. Notice verse 18. We know that they, on a trumped-up charge, they put Daniel in the lion's den. But look what happened. The king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought before him, and his queen fed him. The king was so influenced by Daniel and his integrity that he had. Kept him up all night. Worried about it. Think about that, Will. Time to ask hard questions, men. It's time. I want you to think about this. What's your wife know about you? What's she know about you? What's your children know about you? You have integrity. You have influence in your home. The Psalm 101. I want you to note the emphasis on verse 2. Notice what he says. I will give heed to the blameless way. When will you come to me? Yeah. I will walk within my house with the integrity or in the integrity of my heart. You know, what every man wants more than anything else and desires, I believe more than anything else, is to have that kind of leadership strength that God requires men to have in their home. And the Bible is telling us over and over again, get integrity, get influence. No integrity, no influence. You're not going to have. Integrity gives you the power to lead in places, men, that you need to lead. Notice, in fact, go a little further, go to Proverbs chapter 11. Notice verse 3. All those hard calls, all those tough decisions, men, Proverbs 11, verse 3. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous That's going to destroy them, he says. We have integrity. We have the rule. We can make decisions, is really what he's saying. Now let's talk to faith, chapter 10, verse 9. Notice what he says. He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his way, he says, the writer says, is going to be found out. No sleepless night. No tossing and turning. No wondering if the boss is going to find out. No wondering if he's going to get caught. No wondering if he's going to get embarrassed. All those, you don't have to worry about all of that. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 7. Look what, in fact, that's where God is. Look what he says. Verse 7, Proverbs 2. Source, he says, of sound wisdom for the upright, and he is, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 7. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. What a blessing. What a blessing that is to have from God. God's our shield. If we are given the means by which we can make decisions as men with integrity, if we can pillow on our head at night and go to sleep, that's the honest man's reward. That's the integrity. That's the man of integrity's reward. He can sleep. He can rest because he has integrity. Almost now somebody's saying, well, you know what? How can I get a dose of this? Hey, how about that, huh? You want some integrity? Huh? I want to tell you something. I'm going to give you three ideas that will give you integrity. And the first idea is this. There must be a willingness in all of us to deal with our past. Men don't want to deal with their past. Men of integrity deal with their past. And you know what? You're not walking in integrity, not doing what's right, living the double life, doing that, done that. So, possibly going on, and you're going to have to deal with that. You know what the Bible answer for that is? Confession. That's the Bible answer for the life of truly. It's confession. The Bible word for that is confession. Look at the Proverbs again. Look at verse chapter 28, verse 13. He says, he who conceals his transgression will not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes them, the writer says, will find compassion. Then listen. When you look in your past and you see a lack of integrity, and all men can do that, I can promise you that. When you see a lack of integrity, what's the temptation? What do you do? What's the first reaction? Deny. You think women are in the queen of denial? You're wrong. Men deny more things than I've ever seen women deny. First reaction, what do you do? Deny. Lie. That's what most men do. When they have to deal with their past, they lie about it and then cover up. It's just going away. Hey, you know what? When that water goes under the bridge, everybody's going to forget about it. Yeah. And that's false. That's never going to work. We're never going to be able to build a life of integrity until all of us deal with our past. In North Carolina, there are some great looking white houses. They're pretty cool, really. And been to a few of them, Hatteras and all that, the Outer Banks. They're beautiful. But did you know that several of those white houses, they had to be rebuilt because the Southern boys, I don't know, they're sometimes. Their brain is off. They go down there and they put up this tower and it's swampy, sandy, and it disappears. They had to rebuild them. Well, no, we don't want to do that. That makes too much sense. So they bring rock and loads of rock in and try to build it up and it just goes down again. They finally got some Yankee engineers in there and they figured out they needed to fix the problem. And the problem was, of course, that they didn't have the right foundation and that's all taken care of. But really, I think that's what I'm talking about. You can't build a life of integrity until you deal with the sins that are in your past. Because I'll tell you what happens. No matter where you want to start from, I'm telling you that your past, it'll suck the life out of you. I don't care how much you focus. I don't care how much you think I got this. I don't care how much you think I don't have to look back and deal with it. It's going to suck the life out of you, which will inhibit you from living the life of integrity that you want to. Got to deal with the past. That's what we're talking about. And that means that you got to look your wife in the eye and say, I've not been the husband I should be. I've not been the husband that I can be. It might mean you need to look to your children and say, I've not been the dad I should be. I've not been the way I should be.
That's what that means. That's what a man of integrity does when he wants to deal with the things that are in his past.
So I remember David. I remember that prophet came to David and he said, "You are an adulterer." And before the whole court, David confessed his sin because he knew that he did not have 1 ounce of integrity left. It was cut out of him. And there he stood. David, the only way to get it back was to publicly say, "I totally blew that," and repent of his sins. I want you to think about that. You want some integrity? You need to deal with your past. Secondly, I think what we need to do, we got to start listening to our conscience. You know, there's a little cartoon character in there. I think, you know, we're big adults now. We always, what's the famous line the church uses? "Don't let that conscience be your guide. It could be wrong." Let the conscience be your guide, okay? You better let it be your guide. All right? When it goes off and it says, "Wait, ding, 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 don't do this, don't do it." I think for a lot of men, we hear that bell, we see that, "Hey, what's going on?" And it's like, "Wait a minute, don't do this, you're not going to be whole, you're going to be divided now, you're going to lose your integrity if you do this." Listen to your conscience, men. You need to listen to your conscience. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want you to notice, Paul writing to Timothy, notice what he says, verse 18. "This command I entrust you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight, keeping faith and what? A good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith." We need to keep a good conscience. You've got to have a good conscience to have integrity. We develop our conscience here. We know that Paul was all in all good conscience. Yeah, all that's true. But man, listen to your conscience. Trust your conscience. It's going to tell you right from wrong. It's going to help you maintain your integrity. I like what 1 Samuel says. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 5. This is one of my favorite passages about David. I love this passage. 1 Samuel chapter 5, or I'm sorry, 24. Saul's pursuing David. He wants to kill him. And David gets an opportunity to kill Saul. Well, he doesn't do that. He cuts off a little bit of the king's robe there. I love what the Bible says here. Chapter 24, verse 5. "It came about afterward that David's conscience bothered him." What's King James say? New King James. Anybody? Anybody following that? Read that. Somebody read that. Or take a few of a book out of the Bible and read for me.
"Now it happened afterward that David's heart fell again because he had cut Saul's robe."
My heart is attacking me. Has your heart ever attacked you? That's what happened to David. His heart attacked him. God gave him a conscience for the reason. Thank you, Noah. And we want to tune that in. We want to listen to that. I tell you what, when it attacks you, when you have that stroke of conscience, just like David here did, use that. We cannot be men of honor if we run roughshod over our conscience. We just can't do it. Hey, you're dividing yourself. Don't do it. Men of integrity, David. Timothy. Alright? Listen to your conscience. Then, of course, more than anything else, we need to do what we know to do. I know that's a grand statement, but you need to obey what you know. Always interested in people that we sit down and talk about the Word of God and talk about what the Bible says to be a Christian. You know what? That takes 2 minutes. 15 minutes I can take somebody that's never even seen a Bible before and tell them what they need to do to be a Christian. You can't do it. Doesn't take much. And it really doesn't take much to explain, sit down, show some passages about what it means to live a Christian life, what God expects you to do, to be faithful and live a Christian life. But, you know, sometimes you start talking about that and you think, what's the whole day? And you know what? I know what you said. I looked up the passages and I agree with it, but you know what? That's a really big book. There's a lot of stuff in there that I just don't know about, and they kind of jump around and say, oh, you're the Bible believer. What about Second Mordecai chapter 96, verse 33, where it says, and on Tuesday, you can only wear a polka dot. What about that one, huh? Did you get that one? And I'm not down in Bible study, but I think sometimes that people use the excuse that they need to study the Bible more. Remember, you'll be there. We need to study the Bible more to keep from doing what we already know we need to do. You don't need a PMD, a DVD, a PhD with a title or a degree to know what God's Word wants you to do as a man. Quit using the excuse that you don't know enough Bible to know what it means to walk in integrity as a man, as God's man. We need to stop. Waiting is not for men. Waiting is not for men. I'll tell you what, if I learn more tomorrow, I'm going to do it. How about you? If I learn more tomorrow than I know today, I'm going to start doing it today. I may learn more tomorrow. But if I'm going to be a person of integrity, I'm going to consistently listen to the moral code, the principles that are taught in God's Word, and I must do that immediately. And to exercise integrity as a man, there's no waiting for me to do the right thing. The time is always right now, as a man. Right now is the time. And really, one more verse. Psalm 26. After this verse, the lesson is yours. Psalm 26. Here's our watchword. Psalm chapter 26, verse 11. The psalmist says, "Teach me your way, O Lord." He says, I'm sorry. "But as for me," he says, "I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me," and he says, "be gracious to me." You know, that's the watchword there. You know, I think, you know, they say as a teacher or anybody, you know, if you've ever been, but there's no dumb questions. You know, a teacher always says, "Hey, there's no dumb questions. Anything you ask, you can ask." Well, I'll tell you something. I think to ask a man of integrity what he would do for $10 million, that's a dumb question. Because I want to tell you something, a man of integrity, God's man, it doesn't matter if it's $10,000, $10, it doesn't matter if it's 10 cents. You're not going to buy a man of integrity. And a man of integrity, he's not going to sell out. Integrity can't be bought, can't be sold. We must live consistently with the principles as men that are laid out here in the Scripture. And see, because I'm telling you, in the Scripture, that's what it takes. That's what it takes to be a man of integrity. More lessons to come, men. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." That's the gospel. If you've never been immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, I know that everybody in this room has heard that. Heard me say it 100,000 times. Are you a man of integrity tonight? Are you going to do that tonight? Or are you going to show the same character that you always have shown and disregard the gospel invitation? Men and women alike, God calls you to the gospel. God will save you. God will save you. Once you're immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, He'll add you to this body. Your sins will be forgiven. Please come. That's together with Sam and Sam.